It's Sunday, November 6th, 2016. It's about 4 p.m. and I'm heading down from the crest, from the top of the grade of Alamony Truck Trail in the San Gabriel Wilderness. The sky is a solid chemtrail material, and it's not as thick as it was before, and I'd say about half of it is now in the air column between me and its main layer. It's just a uniform whiteness, white material all around me. And for the last hour and a half, the right side of my chest has been in pain. This is this whole area that is, I'm not sure what it is, whether it's the seat of consciousness and whole body enlightenment, or if it's some sort of some balance for the sinoatrial node, but on the opposite side of the chest, in forming some kind of a polarity or symmetry of some sort. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten that far. My consciousness still resides, my self-consciousness resides in my head. Perhaps a little more expanded than some, but still limited and not grounded in my heart as it would be were I to, give in or yield to this grounding current, this descending force of Kundalini, that is the opposing it's a circuit, up and down, up the back, down the front. But that's just been owie for like 2 hours now. It's happened the last couple of times I've been on these extended hikes in a reduced EMF environment. I just want to comment on that. The other is that I interviewed for a position that would put me within driving distance of my 25 acres. And up here in the high desert, which would mean that I could be hiking excellent high desert trails with reduced EMF on a daily basis, and thus would be able to shed, let's call it 217. Call it 218 pounds I am right now, and I ought to be 198 or something. I've gained about 20 pounds since moving to the desert area, to Coachella Valley. And I think in order to reverse that, I need to be hiking every day. And it would help that I wasn't being sprayed with heavy metals. They do disrupt your whole bioelectrical organism, energetic systems, or system. This whole symphony of activities that make life are fucked up by this bioavailable nanoparticulate spraying of heavy metals. It's just noxious. But it's hard on my joints, it's hard on my heart, it's hard on my pants. I want to be able to use a smaller belt. I think I got belts that were, I even found the size 38's a little on the tight side. I'm wearing 38 pants, but the belt, in terms of where they put the holes in the leather, I bought some 40s the other day, which is like a first for me. And I want to go back to wearing size 36 belts and size 35 pants. or 34s. There was a time when I lived in Hawaii when I was wearing 34s routinely, and I think I even had some, a couple of 32s that were tight on me. Now, it would be absolutely pointless to try to, you know, squeeze myself into a size 32 waist. I looked on you have some standard body mass charts out there where they give you a score based on your weight as a function of weight and height. And so everyone, no matter how tall you are or how heavy you are, you get a score. And that score, it ranges from whatever it is, you know, I don't know, 0 to 50 or something. And whatever mine was, I'm in the very early stages of obese at when I clock in at 218 for a 6'2" person. And that's not cool. I don't want to be called obese. And in fact, for me to be back to normal or, you know, pretty healthy, I have to be back to the low 180s again. I haven't been low 180s for, you know, 20 years. Maybe 94. So how long ago? That's 22 years ago. 22 years ago, I was, I got down to 177, I think. That is, 40 pounds less than I am right now. And that was one evening. That was the evening that I tore my anterior cruciate ligament on my left knee in November of 1994. And that evening, the descending force hit me. I mean, I had been building up to it. I mean, there's just all sorts of sensations, perceptions. It was just, I knew that some heavy duty something was about to occur. And it felt like it was like a shift in every cell in my body. I was on the edge of some sort of transformation. I just felt it in every cell in my body, and this had been building for days, and it was late one night, late one evening, and it was early the next morning, and because my consciousness really won't let stuff like this happen, I was asleep, and I was just slammed. I felt like I was just going to be pushed through the futon bed, wooden frame, and the wooden floor beneath me. It just felt like I weighed 1,000 pounds, and it was like a lightning bolt of just weight coming through me, weighing me down. And without getting into the theatrics, I visualized some stuff. I mean, I fought it off. I immediately rejected it, and I'd never felt this kind of stuff before. I want to make sure everything's safe, because I know this world is not safe for heightened awareness. It absolutely is not, even more so now. And so I always want to test these things, and as a sort of a scientist of subtle systems, trying to be as observant as possible. Objective is the wrong word, but we do have a sort of a witness function inside of us that is aware of what's going on. And, if you can be as honest as possible in that, using that capacity, and, I don't think you can. I think you can have pretty clear readings. My feeling was, if this symptom or activity or arising is part of a holistic, let's say, developmental process, then it should come again. That is, you know, if this is, if I was tapping into sort of a blueprint for the way spiritual development is to occur in the human body, then this should not be a fluke. It should not be a one-time event. And therefore, I could, you know, I could try to repel it for my own safety and understanding, and then, you know, have it come again sometime and just release and, you know, yield to it. But what am I saying here? But that force, that profound force that involved every cell in my body, and there was really no epicenter to it. It was just everything all at once slamming down through the ground. That next morning, I had a couple of, maybe, I don't know, one or two evacuations. It was almost like I was hit with a diarrhea or the contents of my bowels were emptied. I mean, I've never had anything like it. It was just extraordinary. And I got on the scale and it weighed 177. And I haven't seen that number. Haven't been in the 170s since. Because that would be a low, and then I'd be, you know, low 180s that day. And then if I'd been eating and not exercising for a week, then, you know, maybe mid to high 180s then, at that time. But this was just a low point of a low period for me. Because at UC, you know, Berkeley in college, some years earlier, I think I was in the low 200s a few times, you know, as I was just stuffing myself and trying to keep sane amidst this awakened energy in me. In retrospect, though, the descending force, what it's a force of that intensity, of that weight, is that groundedness is essential for, in my opinion, it is essential for the grounding of these various extraordinary sensations or vibrations or secretions, you know, whatever else might be going on, you know, this incredible love, these transcendental insights, all this stuff. You have to be, you know, bolted down into the, you know, to the earth, you know, like a screw going through you from your head down through your toes, down through the core of the planet, you know, that molten metal core that's spinning at the center. So, yes, I'm not sure, you know, we'll see. It's hard to be released, you know, working out in the desert. People have a hard time finding replacement staff, you know, employers do. And there's a chance that, you know, I told them it might take a month or two. And they may not want to offer me the job simply because I am not immediately available. And we already went, you know, beginning of last year, I was offered a job up here. And after having waited over 2 months for me, they rescinded their offer. So they've already been through that with me. Because, you know, when they're waiting for a teacher to come on board, you know, IEPs need to be written. There's lots of paperwork that is not being done. Yeah, it's a hardship. And that's about it. Health-wise, right now. Make some political comments, but that'll be a different entry, you know, the next entry. Yeah, I just don't appreciate inhaling all this stuff, and unbelievable the proliferation of this parasitic mistletoe that takes root in the branches of all these woody plants and drains their sustenance, drains their vitals and kills them over the course of a year or two or three. Actually, it takes usually 2 or 3 years, and then the plant is dead. But yeah, mistletoe is a lot more of it than there was. I think 8 years ago, there was nothing here, no mistletoe at all. But then the spraying operation intensified, and the volume of material, you know, went up tenfold. That's raining down on us, and the HARP arrays that they're using to create high pressure domes to stop storm fronts from coming across California or wherever they want. You can create with one array, you can create a high pressure dome over a 1,000-mile radius. I mean, its diameter, I forget, but just a huge area. You can drought out areas quite easily, and then this material, the material in the air creates excess moisture forming nuclei such that you don't get enough particles, enough molecules of water globuling, you know, coming together to fall out as rain. And plus, with the metal being the attractant up there, that metal is highly electromagnetic. It can be electromagnetically manipulated with microwaves, and they are doing, it's being done. And you just look at geoengineeringwatch.org, and you can look at the fishbone patterns up in the stratosphere of these, you know, bizarre waves. And it's just what happens when this stuff is being, nanoparticulate metals are being irradiated, and they can be heated and thus rise and dispersed, and moisture will not fall to the ground. So our plants are starving for water, and the heavy metals are choking off their, well, the root systems are shutting down as, you know, in an effort to prevent the plant from taking up toxic material, but in so doing is also barring the plant from taking up healthy nutrients, which are also present, but the microscopically small nanoparticles are of heavy metals, aluminum, barium, arsenic, they are bioavailable. I mean, they go straight through the lungs, straight through into the root systems, you know, and so the only response is really, thus far, because I haven't seen any good adaptations. I mean, out of maybe 500 sycamores I've seen dying or dead, one of them, it appears to have just like cut off its own limbs where the mistletoe was and focused its life on a couple of limbs that don't have mistletoe. And, you know, if the plants could be, have a way of shutting off resources to wherever the pathogen is taking root, that would be very helpful, but I'm not sure that the plants are able to figure that out quickly enough. Okay, over and out.